So thank the Lord for you being here today on God and Country Day. Amen. I know there's a lot of churches, you know, there's churches that, well, we're not going to say a lot about patriotism. We're not going to say a lot about America. It's not biblical. Are you kidding me? If this country gets away from the Bible, we are done. Amen. Ronald Reagan, who said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we'll be one nation gone under. Come on now. So thank the Lord for God and country. Now would you stand again for the reading of the word, Psalm 33 and 12. Psalm 33 and verse 12. Amen. So glad to have all of you here today. These hot summer months, and the Lord is blessing. Amen. Amen. The Lord is blessing, giving us a hot revival. Praise the Lord. I believe Westmoreland's in a spirit of revival. Amen. Because souls are being saved. I believe somebody in their 80s got saved not long ago.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We've had some young people get saved. In fact, you need to be saved if you're not saved. And I don't mean I'm just a Christian. No, I'm talking about we need some people on fire for God. All in. Say those words, all in.
All in.
You know, George Washington and those guys, you know, who was it? Thomas Paine that wrote these fair weather soldiers, you know, that only fight when things are going good. You know, he stirred up the Continental Army, and thank the Lord through the hardships. They were all in, and thank the Lord for it. Amen. Psalm 33 and verse 12. If you're there, would you say amen? Psalm 33 and let's read it out loud together, because this isn't Ricky Nims. This isn't the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or the Plutocrat Party or the whatevercrat Party. This is the Word of God. Amen? Read it out loud. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Bless, Lord, the reading of your word. Bless our country from sea to shining sea. Bless this service and the preaching of your word, and God will give you praise. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And turn around and tell somebody you're proud to be an American. Amen. Brother Billy, if you don't mind shutting those doors back, it'll be fine. Thank you, Brother Ray, for that song. And thank you, Sister Lisa, and everyone that was involved in this service, the Royal Ranger. Well, didn't those Royal Ranger boys look good this morning? And Miss Haley doing the Bible. We just praise God for all that everyone did. Now, this is the time of the year that we celebrate the founding of our nation. We had the 4th of July this past Thursday. And I really think we ought to celebrate our country. Why did it become politically incorrect to celebrate our country? I think we ought to eat hot dogs.
Amen.
Splurge on ice cream.
Amen.
Feast on barbecue.
Amen.
Have parades.
Amen.
Roll out the tanks. Send the airplanes over. I think we ought to go all out for America. John Adams said, this day, July the 4th, 1776, will be the most memorable in the history of America. This is John Adams. He said, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as a day of deliverance by the solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. How about somebody tweet that to Colin Pepernick for me or whatever his name is? It ought to be... It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with games and sports and guns and bells and bonfires and illuminations from one end of the continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. Let's praise God for our founding of America. Let's celebrate. Come on, give the Lord a praise. But to be honest with you, it's hard to celebrate the founding of our nation when we see so much the floundering of our nation. And all during this season, we sing that song, God Bless America, land that I love, stand beside, it's really a prayer, and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. But I want to ask you this morning, in the events that we've seen in the last few weeks, and in the events that we've seen in the last few months, and in the events of the last few years, when you think about it, all that we have seen, in fact, did you realize that for the longest time, that the only couple that was shown in bed on TV. For the longest time, there was only one couple that was ever shown in bed on TV, and it was Fred and Wilma Flintstone. Now, we've gone a long way down on TV, haven't we? From Fred and and if you're under 25, that was the Flintstones. Come on, the cartoon. But how, when we see all of the degradation and the Supreme Court, how can God bless America? We sing it, we pray it, and I want to answer it this morning. How can God bless America from sea to shining sea? And I believe the Lord has an answer. Let me give you three things this morning in answering that question. How can God bless America? Number one, let's talk first of all about the secret of America's greatness. The secret of America's greatness. What made America? I know President Trump make America great again. So what made America great? And there are some of these crazy people that say America never was great. They're lying from the pit of hell. America was a great nation. Look at it in history. Look at it in destiny. Look at it in economy. Look at it in the effects of the world. We're the only world power that has not existed to conquer. We were a great nation, and the secret to a great nation is found in our text this morning. If we'll go back to Psalm 33 and 12, it says that blessed is the nation whose what? So that text can apply to any nation. If Iran's God is the Lord, that nation will be blessed. If Iraq's God is the Lord, it will be blessed. If Russia's God is the Lord, it will be blessed. If China's God is the Lord, it will be blessed. And the opposite is true. If North Korea's God is not the Lord, it will not be blessed. It's one of the most impoverished nations of the world. It has almost zero Christian presence. And I'm frankly proud that our president has broken into that country. And now the president goes, now the missionaries can go. Somebody shout amen. Argentina's God, if it's not the Lord, will not be blessed. And America, if America's God is not the Lord, we will not be blessed. You see, up until 1960, you could bank on it, this was a Christian nation. I know that we had slavery, but let me tell you, how did slavery end in America? By the way, let me tell you this right now, and please understand this when you're listening to people on TV. We didn't have America did not invent slavery. This was a world of slavery. The Arabs stole slaves from Africa hundreds of years before American slavery came into. It was not right in America. It was not right in Africa. It was not right in Arab or in Saudi Arabia or any of those. We had a world of slavery from Adam and Eve until the modern times. Slavery was a known factor, but it still doesn't make it right. But what made it right? Godly Christians in the North and many in the South said, there's a God in heaven. We believe that all men are created equal. And because of America and because of Christians, do you know what Christians, Christians that absolutely said we must end, and they helped in the Underground Railroad. It was on fire Christianity in England and in America that eradicated slavery. I'm telling you, don't listen to people on TV. Go back to your history books. America has been a great nation, and because of its greatness, we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. What about those Jim Crow laws and those people that tried to segregate people? They were from the devil. They were evil people who murdered. They were not Christians. Oh, well, some of them carried a Bible. Well, you know, the devil can carry a Bible. Don't make him a Christian. And we need to quit listening to talking heads on fake news and start getting our noses back into the book, into reality. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. I haven't been but 10 minutes in this sermon. I'm already in trouble. But that's all right. When the first columnists in 60, listen to this. When the first columnists arrived in 1607, the first 120 immigrants Do you know what they did as soon as they got on this soil? They built and erected a wooden cross and prayed that God would bless this new land. I've been to that spot. John Quincy Adams said the highest glory of the American Revolution is that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government and the principles of Christianity. There is not in the Constitution, nor was there ever in the founding of our nation, the separation of church and state. But that's all you hear. There's a separation of church and state. That's another L-I-E. No, the government was never going to make you go to a church. That is true. You have the freedom of religion. You have the freedom to and the free exercise thereof. But it never said that we are going to separate God from our country and God from our proceedings and God in our thoughts. 50 of the 55 men who wrote the Constitution. 50 of the 55 men were ordained preachers. When a stranger came to the Continental Congress and wanted to know, how will I recognize George Washington? I've never met him. They said, he's easy to spot. When Congress begins to pray, Washington will be the tall man who will go to his knees. On June the 8th, 1845, President Jackson said, the Bible is the rock upon which our republic rests. President Abraham Lincoln said, in regards to this book, I have but one thing to say. It is the best gift God has given to man. In 1913, Woodrow Wilson said, America was born to exemplify the devotion to the elements of righteousness, which are derived through the Holy Scriptures. In 1954, Congress adopted the phrase, and I'm going to mention something in a few minutes, but remember, Congress in 54 adopted the phrase, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. They added that to the Pledge of Allegiance. And then in July of 56, Congress adopted a bill saying that our national motto would be, in God we trust. So you can see that for almost 200 years, this nation's God was the Lord. And did we get blessed? We had an economy that had never been seen. We had military power that for good put an end to Nazism and fascism and our brave men and that greatest generation in World War II. We brought down the Berlin Wall and we brought Russia to its knees because we had a president that called it like it was. They're not just misunderstood. It was an evil empire. God blessed this country. Roger Babson once asked the president of Argentine Republic, why South America, with all its natural resources and wonders, why was it so far behind North America in terms of progress and marketing? The president of Argentina replied, I've come to this conclusion. South America was settled by the Spanish, who came to South America in search of gold. But if you'll study the history, North America was settled by the Pilgrims, who didn't come in search of gold, but came in search of God. And by the way, why did the Pilgrims come? They come because in England, they were made to conform to the Church of England or suffer or be put in prison. And so the king wanted to get rid of them and send them to that faraway land. And they came so that this country could be a place of religious freedom. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is the secret to America's greatness. Now let's talk point two about the sin against America's God. Because I said up until the 60s, things began to change in the 60s. In 1962, the Supreme Court began by banning prayer in school. In 1973, the Supreme Court allowed abortion on demand. In November 14th, 2003, They removed the Ten Commandments from the courtroom in Alabama. You remember Judge Roy Moore defied that and had problems with that. They began several years ago to ban the name of Jesus at high school graduations. They've attacked Duck Dynasty because of a statement of biblical truth on marriage. Think about Christmas. It's no longer Christmas. It's a winter holiday. Are y'all with me here? Now, certain stores are not recognizing Christmas. Bruce Jenner, who had a sex change operation, was applauded and was the ESPY winner of ESPN. Contrast that with how they treated Tim Tebow, who at times would kneel and pray during games. And they ostracized him and said he was a product of white privilege. Now the Gideons, when I was in the fifth grade, the Gideons handed us kids a New Testament. I'm telling you, when I see what fifth graders are doing now, brother, they need a New Testament. They need some parents that can fan that honey. And Lord, forgive me for saying that right here in the pulpit. Please forgive me for saying that. But it's the truth. Amen. We need some Bibles and some good parents. Hallelujah. This is from somebody that doesn't have any kids, right? So, amen. So, anyway, Gideons can no longer pass out the Bibles. I noticed Verizon Wireless, who I'm a customer of, on their Twitter logo during the month of June, Gay Pride Month, they changed their colors to the Gay Pride rainbow flag. But I went to Verizon Wireless's Twitter account on the 4th of July. I noticed they didn't change their colors to the American flag. So I sent them a tweet. I said, "Hello, Verizon. I'm one of your customers. I respect your rights to do what you did in June. This is America, after all. You had a right to do that. But how about do the American flag on the 4th of July? You spent the whole month with the gay pride flag. To be honest with you, if we did not have America, the gays or nobody would have freedom." Can you say amen? Amen. Colin Kaepernick. I know that's the wrong way to say his name, but I don't care. he needs the Lord. Many others, some of our USA team girl members, lady members are kneeling, are not pledging allegiance to the national anthem. The New York State Legislature just a few months ago when they passed an abortion bill. So here's how they said. They said back in 73, well, abortion will only be in those rare circumstances when a woman is raped or a health of her body and it's either choose to live or have the baby. And so she must have the right to abort the baby because it's for her life. So we took that. But that's really not what it was about. What the devil had in mind was to take at any moment for any reason a baby from the mother's womb, which is a life. And now it's culminated. It's come full circle to the New York legislature and others up north have said that even at 9 months, with the baby healthy and the mother healthy, if she just don't want it, it is her choice. You can put something in that baby's neck and kill it. And when they passed that bill, the whole legislature just applauded and they were hugging each other. How horrible and damnable it is. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican. This is not about a party. This is about the word of Almighty God. Well, what if the baby actually comes out of the womb and the mother in a botched abortion and the baby's actually born and it's alive? Well, the governor of Virginia, our neighbor up there, said, kill it. Now we've got drag queens teaching kids in public libraries and in schools. Disney now won't film in Georgia because they have actually several of our southern states have passed stricter abortion laws saying, hey, this is out of hand. We're going to limit it to those crisis situations, which God can help in those crisis situations, but that's okay. At the same time, we're going to limit it. And so because North Carolina was about 3 votes short of passing a similar pro-life stand, but our Governor Roy Cooper vetoed it. Remember that when you go to the voting booth next time, right? I have nothing personal against Roy Cooper. He was very kind to our family, a very nice man. But he is making decisions, and he's with a system that is doing things that are going to turn us away from being a blessed country. I don't need Roy Cooper's blessings. I need God's blessings. I don't need Chuck Schumer's blessings. I don't need Donald Trump's blessings. I need the Lord's blessings. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise here. And now Disney is releasing their movies and cartoons now that will include gay couples kissing. And your kids are going, watch those DVDs and Blu-rays. Check this stuff out. Don't be clueless. That's how they're getting your kids. That's how they're getting your teenagers. Because they're turning their minds through media and through subtleties. Now, remember when I said in 1954 that Congress adopted the motto, In God We Trust, and also added the words to the Pledge of Allegiance, One Nation Under God? Well, just a few weeks ago, the Congress, which is controlled by Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, and I have nothing against Democrats per se. I have many friends who are Democrats, so I'm not against a Democrat per se. So if you're a Democrat, I love you. All right. But just flip from that later on. All right, okay. But just be independent. How about that? Just be for Jesus. Amen. But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, if it had been Republicans, I would have said it too. But the Democrats decided when they swear their members in Congress, from henceforth, they'll never use the phrase, so help me God. Yes. So help me God. Has now become, and one Democrat politician said very piously, Congress is not a place for God. God is for the churches. I'm sorry. God needs to be in Congress. God needs to be in the White House. God needs to be in your house. God needs to be in Best Buy. God needs to be in the church. Everywhere we need the Lord. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, what about Allah? Don't you think Allah, people love Allah? Look at the nations where Allah is God. Are their countries blessed? They are blessed in oil, but only about 10 people get it. The rest of them, you don't want to live like them. They want to live like us. Friend, what has happened? How can God bless America when we just flagrantly... And listen, I can talk about Schumer and Pelosi and others. You can even talk about Trump if you don't like that. But what about us in this room? How many Sundays do we sleep in and don't go to church? When's the last time that you really gave a full tithe of your income consistently? And yet our country's going down. We can't get you to prayer meeting. We Christians are lukewarm. When's the last time you shared your faith? When's the last time you thought about kids in Africa who need a missionary? And yet we've got our iPhones and cell phones, and we up our debt for things we don't really need. And God help us in America. We need revival. How can God bless America? And I want you to know He wants to. The statistics tell us that since 1962, when they removed the prayer from school, there's been a 560% increase in violent crime. Since 1962, there's a 400% increase in illegitimate births, a quadrupling in divorces, a tripling in the percentage of children living in single-parent homes. Today, 30% of all births are single-parent. In other words, it's not the one or the parents is not caring for the child. Even though the United States has only 6% of the world's population, we have 80% of divorces. We lead, and by the way, if you've been through a divorce, we know sometimes it happens and God loves you and will help you through that. But we're seeing so much of this breakdown. We lead the industrialized world, and we lead the world in murder, rape, and violent crime since we've taken prayer out of school. 80% of the whiskey consumed in the world is whiskey. That's an old word, right? I don't know what to call it today, a liquor, I guess. But when I was growing up, it was whiskey. But 80% of the whiskey is consumed by Americans. In thinking about all this, one great preacher said, America, do you have something to say? All right. America is rolling in luxuries, reveling in excesses, reeling in drunkenness, revolting in morals, and rotting in sin. He went on to say that our nation is perfumed with an aroma of religion and culture, but it is only spiritual formaldehyde disguising the deadly decay of a society on its last legs. How can God bless America? The secret to America's greatness, the sin against America's God. Point three, the solution for America's guilt. So how can God do it? What's the answer? What's the solution? How can God bless America? Let me just start by saying this. We've got to understand what our greatest threat is. A lot of people think our greatest threat is the global war on terror or terrorism. That is a threat, but not our greatest threat. A lot of people think our greatest threat is ISIS or Al-Qaeda or North Korea or Iran. But I'm going to say something, and I just want you to prepare yourself. And I'm getting ready to go to Jeremiah 32:30. So get ready for that. Jeremiah 32:30. Really, our greatest threat is not Al-Qaeda, not nuclear war. Our greatest threat is God. What do you mean by that? Because if we don't get on God's side, and if he doesn't bless us, then brother and sister, we've had it. I don't care how strong an army we've got. I don't care how much money we've got. The Bible says that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Reverse that. Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Our greatest threat is that we don't serve, honor, and receive his blessings and seek his favor. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 30. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, for the children of Israel and the children of Judah have only done evil before me from their youth. For the children of Israel have only provoked me to anger with the work of their hands, saith the Lord. Verse 31. For this city hath been to me as a provocation of mine anger and my fury from the day they built it even unto this day, that I should remove it from before my face. Verse 32. Because of all the evil the children of Israel and the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they, their kings, their princes, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 33. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Verse 34. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they have built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Notice this, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. So parents who had children, they didn't want those children, or they would let those children be burned to the god of Molech. That's a form of abortion. Okay, and which I commanded them not, neither it came into my mind. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is, some people think the answer is more government. Our pastor alluded to this. Letter A, they think government is the solution. My friend, if you think Congress can solve the problems of this nation, you better think again. Two elderly women were walking around an overcrowded English country churchyard and came upon a tombstone on which was the inscription, "Here lies John Smith, a politician and an honest man." "Good heavens," said one woman to the other, "isn't it awful that they put two people in the same grave?" Watching a presidential contest is like watching a washing machine with a defective bearing. It starts up smoothly enough, but soon it begins to wobble and shake, jumping violently one place to the place until it tears itself into pieces, spewing dirty laundry all over the room. When Edward Everett Hale was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate years ago, someone asked him if he prayed for the senators. He said, "No, I look at the senators and pray for the country." Congress is not the answer. Some people think government is the answer. If we have more money and this and money here, money, 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 money. You know what they mean by money? They mean your money. Come on now. And your money is funding the National Endowment of the Arts, where they put a crucifix in a bottle of something you don't want to say here publicly. But we're talking about Planned Parenthood, that your money is supporting. Thank God that some of our president and some of our leaders have won the Supreme Court ruling that we do not have to fund them. And somebody ought to rejoice at that, because that shuts that abortion industry down. And that's exactly what it was. It was not to counsel women. It was to counsel them to have an abortion. That's where they get their money from. Some people think government is the solution. Some people think gold is the solution. Letter B, gold is the solution. There are people to say that money is the answer of our problems. We have politicians who are telling us that if we raise taxes, or here's another one, if we just play the lottery. You remember years ago? Now listen, now y'all still love me. Please plan to love me. Everybody raise your hand and promise to love me. I'm not going to look, I promise. Everybody going to love me? All right, put your hand back down. All right. But, you know, 15 years ago, it wasn't lottery in North Carolina. It was the what? The education lottery. Well, we're going to do a lottery because it's going to benefit classrooms, and it's going to do this. My wife is a public school teacher, and there are many other school teachers out here, and I can promise you, do you see any lottery money coming your way? No, it was meant to be what it was, another form of taxation to people who don't know how to tithe and give God. And instead of winning the lotto and the mega ball, why don't we trust God who can bless us going in and bless us coming out? My financial security is not in a piece of paper or ticket. It's in the blessed book of Almighty God. You won't see me standing in line at Speedway trying to get a play five. Are y'all with me here today? Now, if I see you doing it, I still love you. The other day at work, they had a contest. It's like, if you get so many people to sign up for the Best Buy credit card, you'll get a scratch off. I said, what's that? So I won a scratch off. And I said, what do I do with it? I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know whether to scratch it all or scratch one. I did not win anything. I think I won $1 on one of them, and I gave it to my coworker and told him about Jesus in the process. Come on now. We don't need, gold is not the answer. Government is not the answer. Guns are not the answer. Now, I'm going to say something too to us. And I really want to make sure I hone this in. We are against gay marriage. We are against the radical gay agenda that's trying to change books and schools and movies and all of that. But I'm here to tell you, we are not against gay people. I love gay people. I love everybody. I've got gays in my family. I've got coworkers that are gay, homosexual, lesbian. They are some of the best coworkers that I've ever worked with. I respect them as far as working together at Best Buy and other places. They get no condemnation from me. I will tell them about the Lord. We have all sinned and come, and we can't put up our pious nose, and if a gay couple comes in here, we need to love on them, and we need to show them the love of God, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to beat people over the head. I'm here to tell them that there's a God that made them male and female, and his plan is better than their plan. And I know they've got feelings that way, but God can sanctify our feelings and make us to be what we need to be, whether you're gay or whether you're straight. We all need Jesus. And we're not going to kill abortion doctors. We're not going to get a gun out and kill an abortion doctor. That's murder as well. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. Our weapons is not a gun, but a knee. But I will tell you this. I believe we ought to have guns, amen, to protect ourselves and our families from those who try to harm us. So somebody needs to realize that we as Christians, we're not here to bash a political party or people. We're here to tell you we love you enough to tell you guns are not the solution. Government's not the solution. Gold is not the solution. Letter D, God is the solution. We need the Lord. Give him a hand of praise here this morning. That's how God will bless America. Woodrow Wilson's last word to the American people were these: our civilization cannot survive materially unless it is redeemed spiritually. On December 12th, and I'm coming to a close. And by the way, Brother Wilson, would you mind playing for the altar call this morning? And but in 2003, there was a high school thing. And the Associated Press, God is back and God bless the USA. So the story was about a high school in California. In the finale of the high school program, they had a 200-voice choir that was to sing that song that Brother Ray sung, God Bless the USA. However, the directors of the school, fearing that using the name God might cause a problem or a violation of separation of church and state, decided to change the words from God Bless to the USA to I Love the USA. What they did not expect, Brother Ray, was the reaction from the parents. When the parents found out about it, they made their anger known. Some withdrew their children from the program. For fear of a lawsuit, the school reversed its decision. And the Associated Press stated, listen to this, quote, angry parents got God put back into the anthem. God bless the USA. It's time to put God back in God Bless the USA. I want to close, and Brother Clark, if you'll come to the piano, and I'll let you know when to start. I want to close with this story of the spider, because we can talk about the president, we can talk about Nancy Pelosi, we can talk about Colin Kaepernick or whoever. Tell me after church how to say it. It really don't matter. By the way, I bought my last pair of Nike shoes. Just want to let you know that. My last pair. In fact, I started to take a picture of my, I just bought a pair about a month ago to walk in, and I started to take a picture, put it on Facebook, and say, my last pair of Nikes, because if any company is anti-American, and it's not against a person, if any company is not, for the very country that allows them the freedom to produce and to be enriched, any company that is anti-American, I'm not going to participate. Amen. Say amen, somebody. Amen. A spider. Listen to me real close. I need your undivided attention. And then we'll be ready to go and eat those hot dogs and barbecue, all right? A spider dropped a single strand down from the roof of an old barn and began to weave a web. Days, weeks, and months went by, and the web grew. Its increasingly elaborate maze caught flies, mosquitoes, and other small insects, providing that spider with a daily buffet of bugs. The spider built his web larger and larger until it became the envy of all other spiders. And one day, this productive spider was traveling across his web when he noticed one single strand stretching up high into the rafters. He said, I wonder why this single strand is here, he thought. It doesn't serve to catch any dinner. It doesn't add to my pantry of insects. So concluding that the strand was unnecessary, the spider climbed as high as he could, and he severed that one strand. And in that moment, the entire web began to fall upon itself, tumbling to the floor of the barn, taking the spider with it. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm here to tell you today that God is that one strand in our country. And we must not, and we cannot, look at it and remove it. Point two, in your life, the web that you're building, the things that you're acquiring, the relationships, the finances, the good job, all the accoutrements of our free country. If you take down that one strand in your life, that's where it all tumbles down. And this morning, if you want to make America great again, and I love that phrase. I love that phrase. If you want to make America great again, let's make the church great again. Make your life great again. Go all in for the Lord. Be a Christian warrior. Don't just serve God at church and then live. And never, have you told people about the Lord? You've got friends and family that are going to die, and if they don't know the Lord, their never dying soul is going to an eternity, and you're not even moved by that. Yeah, I get stirred up at things on TV. I get stirred up with Nike and others, but God help me. When's the last time you got stirred up about not seeing a soul saved? Christians, we've got a strand. We got to make sure we're strong. And as I close this service in prayer, as we close this service in prayer, if you don't know the Lord, this is a simple altar call. In fact, this is an altar call for everyone. I want you to step out of your seat and everyone to find your place in this altar and make sure that strand is right and make sure that strand is strong. Go ahead and sing whenever you're ready. But come on down and let's close that God will bless America. Come on down. Make that strand strong this morning. Make sure it's secure. That strand of prayer. That strand of faith. Come on, everyone. Oh, God. Bless America. God bless America. May we go back to our founding. May we go back to the foundation. Oh, God. Oh, God bless America. That cross is the strand. Come on, lift your hands.